Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Shogger, how you doing?
Doing well today, buddy. How are you?
I am excellent.
Excellent.
A few things to discuss. I mentioned that the emergence of Leon Draisaitl should and likely would put Peter Chiarelli in a position, if he chooses, to contemplate moving Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, because I don't – you know, if the team's ever going to get better, you're going to have to trade from a position of strength, which is their center position, because I'm not sure long-term McDavid, Draisaitl, and Nugent-Hopkins makes sense for the team to use their assets properly. What do you think?
Yeah, for sure. I think that a couple of things. Draisaitl's going to need a certain amount of time to sustain a level of play, and not necessarily this point production, but I don't think Peter Chiarelli is going to be in any rush about this at all. So he's got some time because Connor McDavid is hurt and Draisaitl is getting a good long look at center and he's producing. So over a 40-45 game stretch is what you're going to need to see for Peter Chiarelli to be comfortable making any determination on where Draisaitl's at and how much he can be counted on. And if moving a player like Nugent Hopkins along, who's far further into his career and they know what they have in Nugent Hopkins, they're going to need to be sure about Draisaitl. So I don't think it's anything that is necessarily knee-jerk based on a really good stretch of 10 games here. But I do agree that with Draisaitl emerging, and if he continues to sustain this level of play, it does open the door to a fundamental shift in where some of the organizational strength can be spent. And Nugent Hopkins, like the 1-2 punch of Connor McDavid as he develops and Leon Draisaitl, if he's going to be close to what we're seeing here, that's a great 1-2 punch down the middle and allows them to at least contemplate and suss out what offers would be out there to move a player like Nugent Hopkins. Because you put Nugent Hopkins in play and now you're talking about the ability to go and get potential game changers on the back end.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And it's not because Nugent Hopkins is bad. It's because Draisaitl gives you something that you don't have, you know, big, strong center. And the one thing, Ryan, is when you look at it, and you know, McDavid's not there yet, and he'll probably get better just because we saw the improvement in Crosby. Is I saw Draisaitl in the faceoff circle last night against one of the best faceoff men in the league, and he beat him more often than he lost last night, and a lot of times in crucial defensive zone faceoffs in their own zone. And that to me, was the most, you know, special thing, because this team, it's great to have guys who can produce points, but it's sure nice to know that you don't always have to send over your fourth line center who's out there to take a face-off and you're trying to get him off as quick as you can, whereas you can have a big Draisaitl win an offensive zone face-off, keep the puck going, and then we'll have the offensive creativity to maybe finish it off.
Well, for sure, and hey, what's better than having Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl as your top two centers? It would be having Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins all together playing well, producing, right? Right? Like, we're not, you know, we talked about this a little bit on the morning show, and it's like people think, you know, we're trying to run Nugent Hopkins out of town or something. That's not the case. It's just about taking a step back, looking at the organization. This is an off-season scenario. This isn't a this year. There's no reason for the Oilers to do this deal this year unless somebody presents them with an opportunity and they can't balk at it. But it allows them to rethink the way. Now, there's two options here on the back end, bud. It's they either go get the guy they need or they wait for one of their guys and see if they're going to develop into it. Is Darnell Nurse going to become the guy that they would essentially trade Nugent Hopkins for? Is Oscar Klefbom going to become that guy? How long do you have to wait to see if there are top-pairing defensemen among them? Or do you be aggressive, use some asset up front, and go find that guy? I think the Oilers probably were leaning towards letting their players develop into it, keeping an eye on the market, but letting their players develop into it and see what they have. But it could probably happen faster for them if Draisaitl is for real here, and if he's even 80% of what he's shown he is in the early going here over the long haul. It allows them to rethink the timeline a little bit, and the timeline is an issue. And I've talked about this on your show for a while now. The forwards are on a different learning curve than the defensemen. It's going to take the D-core longer to be ready. The forward unit, in a lot of ways, is ready. So this allows them to rob from Peter to pay Paul a little bit. And now, you know what? Now when you call up David Poile, you're having a legitimate conversation about what it might take to get Seth Jones. Because Yakupov, Schultz, even Eberle, it's not even a conversation. You start talking about Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, now you're having conversations that matter with people.
Ryan Ashok from TSN joins us. And like I said, and both of us, I want to preface it, it's not a move I think that is made now. It likely would be made in the earliest at the summer.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, again, unless somebody comes to them because it's a need they – I mean, let's – look, the Nashville Predators, Seth Jones plays in their third pairing, basically. I mean, they have the best decor 1-6 in the league, and Seth Jones, who's going to need a new contract here, is on their third pairing. So if you're the Nashville Predators, and I don't think that they'll – I don't think they'll trade Seth Jones in the end. I think probably
they'll
end up moving Ellis instead. But – they have him playing on their third pairing, for goodness sakes, with Jackman. Like, they have such an embarrassment of riches there. And the thing that can be said, and the reason why maybe a deal like that makes sense is, if the Nashville Predators were to trade Seth Jones tomorrow, would they be looking for Seth Jones the next day? The answer is no. If the Edmonton Oilers traded Ryan Nugent-Hopkins tomorrow, would they be looking for a Ryan Nugent-Hopkins the next day? No. Both organizations have an area of strength, and they would help each other address an area of need. And so it just opens up these possibilities, and they're long-term possibilities, but Peter Chiarelli has to be exploring them.
Ryan Ashok from TSN joins us. At some point, Ryan, don't the Oilers just simply need more saves from their goalie? Like, you can't be sub 900 in save percentage and always blame it while it's just the defense in front of them.
Yeah, no, it's not at some point, it's now. It's at every point. It's been at every point this season. It's been at most points last season. They haven't gotten the quality goaltending that they need, and they're still looking for it. They are to blame for some of it, because you can't just keep rolling out goaltenders in front of subpar NHL defense units and just expect them to be able to, you know, like, it's on the team in some ways. I mean, goalies can't sustain a level of play without a certain quality of defense being played in front of them, and the Oilers haven't had that. So it's on management in some ways, more the old management, but this new management, it's incumbent upon them to build a better blue line so that goaltenders have a fighting chance. But with that said, yes, they have to make more saves. They have to make better saves. A third goal, you have to be ready. You can't have goals like that happening with regularity. And
this is the reason I say it, Ryan, because I think it's become a crutch in Edmonton. The Buffalo Sabres were the worst team in hockey last year. Right?
Yeah.
Jonas Enroth, 903 save percentage, 37 games. Michael Neuwirth, 918 save percentage, 27 games. Anders Lindback, 924 save percentage in the 9 games he played. Heck, yeah. Andre Makarov, who I'd never heard of, had 917. Like, their goalies on the worst team in hockey still found ways to make saves, and you can't tell me that Edmonton's the only team in the league that gives up bad chances. Like, last night, the Oilers had more quality chances than Chicago, and Crawford just made more saves. Like, at some point, the goaltenders here need to look in the damn mirror and make some saves.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I don't, it's not about, I don't sense either goaltender sitting in there making excuses. I don't think this is about them needing to realize they're accountable. I think Cam Talbot from day one has been a very accountable goaltender, and when he's not good, he knows he's not good. He says he's not good. He wears it. He owns it, and I think it bugs the crap out of him. Anders Nilsson, same thing. I don't think, and I wasn't down there today. I don't know if the guys talked or not. I don't sense that they have goaltenders that are standing in there making excuses. So the looking in the mirror part is, I think these guys are pros. I think they know. But regardless, they need to make more saves. The Oilers need better goaltending, flat out. And they're running through guy. And I think in the big picture, they're running through guy after guy after guy after guy after guy who isn't able to give it to them. So you wonder, is it, how much of it is the system and how much of it is that they just keep picking the wrong guys? It's probably a little bit of both. But I mean, look at that Oiler blue line last night, man. I mean, that was crazy.
How many major glaring errors did Oscar Klefbom or Darnell Nurse or Griffin Reinhardt make? Like, how many glaring errors did they make when I result the quality chances the Oilers forwards had against Jarmelson, Seabrook, Keith, etc., compared to how many top quality chances Chicago had? The Oilers outchanced them with a much better blue line in Chicago. So that's why
The Oilers, and they played well last night. I'm not I'm not criticizing those players and saying they didn't play well enough and how can you expect the goaltender to win. What I'm saying is the Oilers had four players in their lineup last night with less than 100 games. Three of them had less than 30 games NHL experience. So when that's the quality of defending you're rolling out every single night or most nights, there's a big, big issue there. And my sneaking suspicion is when the Oilers blue line improves, their goaltending will also improve. Now, it might not get to the level they need it to be at. They might still not have the right guy. But you can't roll out the type of defense the Oilers have had for the last 3 years and stick your head in the sand and think goaltenders should be able to persevere regardless without it having any impact on them.
No, this sure. I'm just saying, Devan Dubnyk had 920 save percentage, so it's possible. Yeah. All I'm saying is when it's sub 900, Ryan, like, it's excuses
it's
to
enough.
Me. It's pure excuses for the goaltenders. All I'm hearing from everyone is, oh, it's the defense in front. Screw the defense in front. Make a damn save more. Like, you can't keep letting in four goals on 27 shots. Like, the Oilers aren't getting out chance and out shot every night anymore. That's not happening.
Yeah. The quality of the play is better. And the goaltending needs to be better. I'm not arguing with you. I'm not. But what I'm saying is when you look at the inexperience that they're rolling out every single night on their blue line, to think that doesn't have an impact on the quality of chances over the long term they give up, the learning curve that blue line is under, it's going to affect everybody. It's going to affect the forwards and their ability to generate offense and points. It's going to affect the quality of the chances that are given up. Last night's not a great test study because I thought they did a really good job defending against a really good team. But it's not always like that. They have some of these young guys that are in there learning on the job, making big mistakes, and it's costing them. But that's what they're trying to do here. I mean, you want to play a decor of that much inexperience, there's going to be effects that run through your lineup. But it bodes well for them because they played well last night. These guys all look like they're developing nicely, but there's going to be a net effect to rolling out that much inexperience night in, night out. And I agree with you. The goaltenders need to be better. They do. And they need, I mean, when you're going to roll out that much inexperience, you need to have a reliable netminder that can bail you out of some tough situations. And they don't have that right now. So whether it's the wrong guys, whether it's, but you cannot ignore that goalie after goalie after goalie has come into this market and failed. And what are the odds that they're just simply picking the wrong guys time and time again?
Well, it's worth the question, number one. And like Cam Talbot looked okay early and then just lost his confidence. And it wasn't like suddenly the Oilers, were giving up way more chances in the last six games than they were in his first six games, right? And so that's where, to me, it falls on him. And Cam Talbot, to his credit, did stand up and say, hey, my focus, everything, it's got to be better. The Oilers, they should have some results for the way they've played lately. And maybe that's a good sign. Maybe they're going to finally break out and win some games. It's, sometimes that's a sign of a losing streak coming to an end is when you're playing well. And, they lost in L.A. in the final few minutes. They got to overtime against Chicago. Those are the teams that have won five of the last six Stanley Cups and have a lot of the same core guys. So,
Yeah. Well,
it's good. But it's just at some point they need to see some results. And I think there needs to be a little bit more of an onus. And yeah, our goalies played well. But, I'd like to just have the goalie stand up. I didn't play well enough. I got to make more saves. End of discussion.
But they do say that, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure what it is you're after. Like, if you want Todd McClellan to stand in there and shred his goaltenders to us, it ain't happening. Todd's not built that way. He will be honest, and he will go to a certain point. But, I mean, he's not going to stand in there and rip on those guys and break their confidence down even further. The teammates certainly aren't going to stand in there and rip on those guys. Really, what it comes down to, I mean, they're trying as hard as they can. They're not playing well enough. They know they're not playing well enough. So, I mean, it just comes down to you and I and the media and the fans being frustrated about it or questioning and asking hard questions about it. But I don't see what else can be done. I mean, you got to pick a goalie. You got to put him in. They hope he makes the saves. When he doesn't, go to the other guy. When he doesn't, go to the other guy. At a certain point, if you're spinning your wheels with the wrong guys, then it's time, never mind who's screaming or saying what, it's time for management to step in and go find better guys. I mean, it's, it doesn't matter what we say. It doesn't matter what they say. It's just strictly about results. And they just maybe need to either go find better guys or just keep going with these guys and try and figure out a way to get them through it.
And the other one that they might look at, and people don't always agree with it, is they'll have to look at their goalie coach to see if that's the right fit too.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, absolutely. Well, absolutely, the goaltending coach needs to be accountable. The last one certainly was. I think that, you know, that's fair to say. But again, are you throwing the baby out with the bathwater a little bit there? I mean, I can't pretend or profess to know, you know, how good a goaltending coach he is. Based on the results of the netminders, I would, you know, you would make an assumption that, well, they could be better there. But again, it's, I mean, all of the things that go into this, you know, like we talked about with the blue line and the quality of play they're getting there, what's fair? And you're just going to keep firing goalie coach after goalie coach because the goaltenders aren't good enough? Or do you be a little bit bigger picture about it and realize all the factors that are contributing to it and start picking them off and fixing them one by one? Job number one on this team, I agree with you, the goaltending has not been good enough. Job number one on this team is that blue line being better. And when that blue line is better, a lot of things will be fixed.
It'll help, no doubt. But I'm just saying, if your goalies can't even get you a 900 save percentage, it's not just on the defense. That's all I'm saying. So, they fix the defense, that'll help it. But you got to get some goaltenders. And it's okay for people to say Cam Talbot needs to be better because he's been brutal for the last six starts. And, like, if anybody else had played that bad in those positions, Ryan, everybody would cling him to be in the press box. I think the goaltenders have been getting too much of an easy ride for 2 weeks in Edmonton with everybody saying, well, it's because of the defense in front of them, when none of the statistical data backs up that statement.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I think if there's one thing goaltenders at Edmonton don't ever get, it's an easy ride. I mean, this town chews up goalies. And whether it's the system, whether it's the pressure, whatever, I mean, this town is it's a goaltending graveyard. So, look, Cam Talbot, I mean, he came here wanting to be the starter. He came here looking to earn a contract and be a starting netminder and all of those things. There's nobody more disappointed with the way it's gone than Cam Talbot. So the question is, really, do you cut bait on guys after this much time? Or do you believe in the reasons you brought him in? Do you believe in the scouting? Do you figure out what needs to be fixed and help them fix it? I mean, running around with your hair on fire, screaming and being angry doesn't do anything. It's about addressing the problems, and that's Todd McLellan's job here. He's got two goalies. One was supposed to be the starter and has dropped the ball. The other one, he's waiting for him to pick it up. He's not. He's dropping it a little bit too. So he's got two goalies taking turns dropping the ball, a team that's playing well enough to win some games that they're not. He's got a lot of stuff to balance here, and he needs a goaltender to grab this. So it's up to him and the goaltending coach to figure out, how do you prepare these guys? How do you motivate these guys? How do you get them out of the funk that they're in, and then it's up to Peter Chiarelli at some point to make the determination, yeah, they're not good enough, and go get somebody else, or to stay the course.
Shugger, have yourself a good one. We will chat with you tomorrow.
Okay, buddy. Take her easy.